Fellow believers, distinguished guests, we have among us today some of the greatest people in all of society. Mr. Dr. Merritt is here today. I want to take note of him. For the very first time, Amalie Stephan is here to celebrate her Sabbath with us for the very first time. Mr. and Mrs. Jonathan Siegel are here today. Distinguished guests, I also want to thank Senator Stephen Kuhn for being here today to support me. Today, during one of the darkest days of the year, during one of the darkest times in our nation's history, and what can be one of the more frustrating times in the Church of God, I come to you to talk to you about something that is critical for our success as a people, and that is hope. Sound familiar? A little bit? A lot of bit? Hope a bit. I wanted to talk a little bit about hope today. Many people wonder why. Where is the hope? Where are we getting our hope from? Christianity in general has let us down. Why is that? I've repeated this before. Christianity has a lot to offer, but in the end run, general Christianity or modern Christianity doesn't offer a lot of hope. As a matter of fact, it offers at times condemnation and a false hope and false things. There's a growing religion today that actually speaks that hope's within you. All good comes from within inside you. And that any hope that you're going to get in this lifetime is going to be from yourself. Where is our hope as believers? Is it in our new president? Is it in our new government? Does it come from within our side ourselves? No, it doesn't. We know that. What I want to talk to you today about is hope. Where it comes from, and at the end, I want to present to you those people that went before us that had the hope in their hearts. Romans 15 and verse 13. I pray that the God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with the confident hope through the power of his Holy Spirit. The key word there, yes, hope's in there. The source of our hope is God Almighty. The question is, do you overflow with it? Would you be recognized as a person or an individual who overflows with hope? Would you be recognized? Could somebody call you hope? Are you an agent of hope where you are? You know, every year at the Feast of Tabernacles, we essentially rehearse hope. We're a very hopeful people, but somehow we kind of muddle through the winter months and somehow we make it harder on ourselves the rest of the year. Are we going to make it? Are we filled with hope? You know, people who don't have hope don't have joy. You can't be a joyful person without hope. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. It means it's alive. It's not something that's coming later. We should be alive in hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, in our newness of life, we should be recognized as people or agents of hope. Like I said, there's a lot of talk about hope. Let's face it, right now, the one thing we can be certain of is man cannot create it. As a matter of fact, I would say during the last several years in our nation, this could be an era of lost hope. We don't see a lot of hope or answers, do we? The only answers are in this word for hope. But hope is not just hope. Hope comes with requirements. To have hope and to nurture hope, there are some things that are required that we have to do. In other words, hope without action, a lot like faith, is just dreaming. My wife's in her financial advising, what she'll do is she'll ask a person to sit down and ask what they want, the goal that they eventually want to accomplish. They ask her to fill out a dream book. Well, those people go through that process of writing down, you know, the things they do want to be and become or do. They do nothing. Those are just dreams. Hope comes with action. You cannot be a hopeful people unless you do some things. Obviously, the Bible gives an entire code of conduct, but there are a few things that I want to cover in this sermonette today. With hope comes a responsibility. In 1 John 3, and verse 2 through 3, if you could turn there, 1 John 3, verse 2 through 3. Beloved, we are now the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. If you're to have hope and nurture hope, you have to be pure. One of the messages that I heard at the feast that struck me the most is nothing in the kingdom of God will stand with God impure. That one kind of got me right to the heart. We have to seek purity, and the answer begins in verse 4 there, where it said, is the definition of what sin is. We have to be in the process of purifying and removing sin from our life. If we're going to be people with hope, sin has to be removed from our lives. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone. Everyone who asks you a reason for this hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Everyone? Really? Do you? Are you willing? Do you share the hope that's in you, or do you keep it close to your heart? It says here, and it'll say a little later on in Psalms, that we are supposed to share the hope with everyone. Let's face it, right now, if there was ever a time that we can offer hope to a society that desperately needs it, it is now. If not now, when? I think we'll all agree that things are not going to get better. At least by man's efforts, they're not going to get better. People have to have hope extended. And if we're going to have hope and nurture hope, we have to be willing to share it with those that we even think may not receive it well. Take the chance. First Peter 1 and verse 13. The book of hope, by the way, Peter. First Peter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. One of the things God asks us to do, if we're going to be people filled with hope, we have to be sober-minded. We have to be serious about what this call is. Right? We can't take for granted the incredible grace and gift that God has given us. Because if we do, it will tarnish our hope. It'll tear it down. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised is faithful, and let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Another ingredient of being able to have hope and nurture hope is we've got to continually be a people who are at work in regards to love and good works. Pretty simple. But the opposite of all of these things is if you don't, you won't. If you're not sober-minded, if you're not pure-hearted, you're not going to be a person or an agent of hope. Romans 15 and verse 14, or verse 4. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement. We wait patiently for God's promises to be filled. This is it refers to in verse 1, of strengthening the weak. So one of the things that we're called to do to be a hopeful people is to strengthen the weak. Psalm 71 and verse 14. But I will keep on hoping for your help, and I will praise you more and more. I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long I proclaim your saving power, though I'm not skilled in word. This is talking about you and I. We may not be the most gifted people in the world, but David here says he tells everyone. Everyone of the hope of the power of the resurrection. Everyone in the hope of the salvation of the Lord. Everyone. Unless we're moving in that direction, we're going to be a people that, what's the opposite of hope? It's fear and doubt. And we're going to be moving backwards. Witnessing is one of the more important things of being people that are hopeful. And like I said, if there's ever a time in history, now people are looking for answers. They're looking for some sort of answers. And like I said, modern Christianity, as it's presented, doesn't offer a lot of hope. Now I'd like you, if you would, if you turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, to begin the presentation of what we did. We promised ourselves, this is the third time now, and again, I try to do this in the fall, but what happened in the fall was my speaking schedule, ended up on the Day of Atonement. I wasn't going to talk about this on the Day of Atonement. The next time I got a chance to speak, it snowed. And so here we are at the beginning of the year. And this is actually kind of a funny story. Shaney was up for speaking today. And I went up to him last week and I said, hey, you speaking next week? He said, yeah. And I said, I think I'll take it. And he looked at me and he went, okay. And I realized I'm senior. He has to give it up to me. So he was gracious enough to be able to do that. When I first came into the church, as you've heard me say many, many times, probably the most inspirational understanding that I came to was the resurrections, of not seeing heaven and hell the way that heaven and hell was presented to me as a child. Those of you that have been raised in the church, I feel for you, because you don't really understand what it's like to have that essentially burden lifted off your backs, but also to be able to recognize a God that is more loving than what heaven and hell present. So let's go ahead and let God's word talk to us again and read these scriptures. Read 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Wow, how heartening that is. I mean, again, you can think of those people, and I want you to think of these people, and if you can, because we weren't able to put everybody up there that we could possibly think of that was part of our faith that is gone. And I apologize if anybody's offended by that. Doug and I, we put this together. Actually, Doug put it together, and he did a great job on it. And I thank him so much for it, because he works really hard on it. But take the time, because God does take the time. He values those very deeply that have lived faithfully a life of hope, of sober-mindedness, of pure-heartedness, of those character traits that we say that you must walk with and have hope. So Romans 8 and verse 23, and we too, believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us the full rights as adopted heirs of children. I went as fast as I could on the sermonette. Tim, if it's all right, I'd like to, we're going to go ahead and show the faces and the names of those friends that we have that are gone. I want you to remember that. And then maybe just take a minute or two and reflect on maybe those that weren't. Or just reflect just for a second on life, being agents of hope, maybe bringing more people in with the hope that they so much need. So, the Saints of Seattle.
To the lost and found, tears of joy and tears of shame, awash forever in Jesus' name. The healing rain, it comes with fire, so let it fall and take us high. Time began. your hand.